Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, Soul Survivor, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Pinto makes a bold move to save his parents, and Rao takes the enemy for a walk. With Squash missing, Pinto unconscious, no information about the chalice, little to no chance of making it back through the traps easily, and left with only the exhausted Dathridi parents, Rao has to make a decision about whether to call for help, or try to finish their mission alone. Will Rao find talking with Pinto's family awkward? Is there anything he could do to help his friends? And with no one else taking the lead, what will Rao do? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
You have two people that you barely know who are barely conscious, and you have an unconscious Pinto.
Hooray.
Hoorah. What would you like to do?
What happened to those stone, the constructs?
They're sort of like meandering up and down the corridor on the other side of the bright lights, but they haven't gone through the doorway, the portal with all the lights in it.
Okay.
They're pacing up and down, and if you leave it for a couple of minutes, they kind of, not exactly get bored, but they seem to just at a snap, all of them turn at once and stride off to where the cells previously were. Sorry, where the cells actually are, but just without anyone in them.
Okay. Can we get far enough away without going into the next room that they will think that we've moved on? Or is it not that much space between rooms?
You are you're kind of at the foot of a staircase. So you could go up the staircase. That would lead you to Yeah, so you're at the foot of a staircase. You could go up it and then be on like a little landing before the door that leads into the ballroom that's filled with weapons.
Okay.
So yeah, you could get out of sight easily.
Yeah, we'll go up the staircase a short ways and just stop on the staircase itself.
Okay. Yeah, so that's absolutely fine.
So that they get bored for a while and hopefully go back. Raw leads them up the stairs a short ways, carrying Pentor, I imagine. Am I carrying?
Yeah. Yeah, his parents are kind of holding each other up.
Partway up the stairs.
And there's no way pregnant mom is going to be carrying unconscious Pentor up the stairs.
True. I forgot she's pregos. Raw goes partway up the stairs and then sets Pentor down delicately on one of the steps and kind of collapses up against the wall and just focuses on his breathing for a bit, closes his eyes. He's a bit stressed out, so.
Sylvia, their mother, basically cradles Pintor's head in her lap and just like seems to be just like, you know, push, you know, running her hands through his hair and just keeping, like, you know, being the motherly thing that you would expect, concerned for her unconscious child. Their father looks over at you and he says,
"Thank you. Who, excuse my impoliteness, what are you? I've never met your kind before."
"Friend of a friend. Pentor came to get us to help."
"Ah, who is us?"
"The son that you put in jail." And Raw kind of glances. He's not giving hateful looks or anything because he's still like 50-50 on what happened. But he does like look over at the mom who is, you know, watching over Pentor.
Give me an insight check and I'll say that's the insight on both of them. That's fine.
18.
When you make the kind of pointed comment, you see Zelfar, their father, just kind of like stiffen up and look uncomfortable. And as you look over at their mum, you can see for a moment her knuckles go white and she seems to be like repressing some sort of anger, and then it quickly dissipates. He says,
"Oh, you know my other son? Is he okay?"
"He is. Though I'm not sure he would be the same as you remember. Could not say, I did not know him back then. Would you like for him to be okay, or would you still like for him to be in jail?"
"Of course. I want all of my children to be safe."
He kind of like puts his hand to his like to the side of his nose and his face and kind of like wipes a bit of the blood away, almost for the first time realizing how badly injured he is. And he continues saying,
"Raw wanders over and gives them his rations and whatever water canteen he has and his bedroll so they can like have a comfortable place to like sit, I guess.
Yeah.
And then journey back over to where he was originally sitting.
It doesn't take them long. Zelfar very carefully lays down the bedroll, kind of struggles to lift Pintor onto it, and Sylvia goes with, and they eat and drink. And again, he looks up at you and thanks you. He says,
"I just wanted to protect him. There are people who would have killed him after what he did, and I never wanted that to be the case."
"He did not do that. At the party. It was not him."
"Well, who was it?"
Do you know what happened to him? How he was after that? Or did you just throw him in jail without asking many questions?
He takes a long time to answer. And you can see that Silver is shooting him some not happy glances. And he says, finally.
Initially, I had planned to put him in jail before my sister was able to do anything more to him. And before Talvern found out and killed him. My plan was to always free him and get him out somehow. But I did too good of a job. I lost him for a while. Now, after all of that, I discovered that my sister has bigger plans for him. And whatever it is that she's done to him, forgive me, we need to be getting on. We need to be moving as soon as Pintor's up and around. Do you have anything to help him?
We won't make it back through the rest of the rooms. We need to rest and hope that nothing comes. We need to send... We have others here. They are up top, but we could send for them. If you have your snake thing, you could send.
Sylvia glances up immediately and says, yes, what? We could probably send him with a note or a message. These friends, do you know what they... Could you describe them to him, or...
Has the snake?
Nip seen them?
Yes. Christopher Cantemir.
You see her, like, whispering very quietly, lifting up her wrist, and the snake and she seem to have a very quiet conversation. You see its tongue flick out a little bit, and she opens her mouth, and you could almost swear that her tongue flicks a little bit in the manner of a snake, but you can't be 100% sure. She looks up at you and says, what message? I'm sorry, it has to be short.
Tell them things went bad and we are stuck.
You have approximately 13 words left.
Don't lie to the old man. Be careful. Be quiet. Is that enough?
You have 3 words left if you want to use them.
I love you.
Okay, I don't have any more. You can have inspiration. Okay. That's so fucking beautiful. I'm going to write down what I thought you said. Wow, I really wish I'd written this as you'd gone. I'll tell you what, make sure I get a copy of this before I have to play with the others again.
A copy
just
of...
Just ends with, I love you.
Oh.
Okay. That's cool. I had it written in my notes to write down what you say as you said it, but I got too excited. Okay. After you say that, she lifts her arm against the wall and you see Nips turn into the same color as the wall and blend into it, unwrapping from her wrist and diving into the wall. And as far as you guys know, disappearing. It will find him soon. This Christopher, is he to be... Well, I hope he's as good a friend as you are to Pintor, I guess. What do we do now?
Well, we really need that cup.
Cup?
There's the chalice in the... It Rawl nods back in the direction where they came. In the vault place.
Zelfar's eyes go wide and he says,
I had heard such a thing. We can't help you. We're too weak right now. If you gave us a few hours, we could go with you, but right now it's just not an option.
No, I won't be able to make it back. And, I could go and look. But I won't be sure that I could get it alone. We had another with us. I need to see something. Hold on. And Ral is going to concentrate, close his eyes and concentrate, and try to do his go to the stalking thing again. And talk to Spectre.
The one where you sit down and focus really hard on pulling your spirit to the other side.
Yeah, Ral saw Squash just go invisible, so he probably thinks Squash is just hanging out with Spectre, because that's what happens to Ral when Ral goes invisible.
Yeah, that's not a, it's not a bad assumption, I guess.
Either way, Spectre needs to help me.
Yeah,
Spectre.
Yeah. Are you making a okay, so you're sitting down, you're focusing on getting yourself to the other side. Are you gonna try and say anything to help him or help you get there? Because as we discussed before, when you did trip to the other side, this isn't going to be an easy check because you're not supposed to be able to do this. So
Ral will whisper, I need to ask a question, Spectre, and close his eyes and think about anything that can help him. He'll think about his little whale that he made, because that's like a physical thing that he knows where that is. So
okay, I'll allow you to make the check with advantage.
Woo!
And then we'll see how that goes.
It's a wisdom.
It is, in fact, a wisdom check, yeah. Unless you could argue any skill that you think would help you in this particular moment.
No.
Let me open up your character sheet.
I have performance and insight and stealth and acrobatics. Unless I try to sleight of hand my way there.
No.
Or do a backflip into the stalking plane.
That won't help you either. I'm going to say persuasion.
Okay.
It's still just I'm going to say treat persuasion in this case as if you had proficiency, because he is your buddy and he has an interest in you and you have an interest in him and your friend. So in that case, 3 plus your proficiency, 4 is 7.
Okay, so I'm going to roll have a performance plus 7 because it's the same number.
Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Wow. That's an 11.
That's 11, even with advantage.
Wow.
Boy, yeah, that's that doesn't work,
really,
my friend.
Bad.
That doesn't help, I'm afraid.
Can I use my inspiration?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You have one inspiration left.
Yes, that leaves me with one left.
Sure.
I don't want to use it, but God damn it. Okay, here we go. That's a 26. I accidentally made it with advantage, but the first roll was the 19 plus 7.
I'll take it. We'll take it. It's that's absolutely fine. You pull yourself, you sit and focus on the stalking. You sit and focus on the specter. You sit and focus on the question you need to ask very desperately. You think about the little whale that you made for him. And everything around you kind of slows down. You see the looks between the parents slow down. You see Pintor's breathing slow, even slower, even deeper. And as you look around, everything is weirdly sepia colored. And sort of like sitting on a step a couple above you is the specter.
Ral gets excited. Spectre.
Bro.
Hi.
Hi.
You don't have squash.
What?
He shakes his head.
No, he's not here.
Oh. Where?
That's trap there.
And he points at the one which the colors are changing like really slowly, so the microsecond gap that is between the color changes are huge in this reality. It is like different plane of existence. Like you could easily step through this, do a dance, and step back again. That's because you're in the stalking.
That's trap there. Can send people anywhere. Here, well, they're not. Your friend Squash isn't here on this plane. He could be somewhere else in the material plane. He could be at the entrance to Bellum, entrance to Cicero, or floating amongst the gods on the Sentinel plane.
Do you know how we can find him?
You would probably need to check each of the planes. He's not on this plane. I can't sense him on the material plane. He's one of mine. That would either leave the Sentinel plane, which I have no power over, or the entrance to Cicero, or the entrance to Bellum.
Hmm.
Like I did when I looked for Aemir, I could go look, but that would take some time.
If you feel like you have the time, it would help us. I will be looking for him. Emma mentioned before she died someone hurting me. Do you have any idea who she might have been talking about?
I need you to roll a persuasion check for me.
Okay. Natural 20.
I do.
Someone was going to hurt me.
He nods slowly. And he says,
this thing you've got yourself messed up in. This thing with artifacts, relics. One of their orders was interested in you. A year or so ago when you got to Felsen. The cult of the brokenhearted. But why, I cannot say. I simply don't know. I was interested in you, but not so much that I neglected some of my other charges.
Raw chuckles.
He kind of gives you like the side eye of like, mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I guess I will look into that.
You're welcome.
Raul looks up and smiles at Spectre.
How important is this friend of yours? Truly, in all of my powers, I have to potentially help you on this side. As limited as I am by the other Spectres.
Squash?
Yes. Been on the edge of being in my domain for a while. Nowhere near as often as you, obviously.
No, but he's better now. He should have a chance at living.
Better. It's not been that long since he used.
Well, he's taken his cure. He will have less reason to use, maybe, because of that. He has more of a chance than I have in any sense, Spectre. He should not be making...
He puts his skeletal hand out and rests it on your shoulder. It's, funnily enough, super cold. He says,
I'll go look for him. But I won't be around here for a while. It takes time. I need to find the right soul heading in the right direction. And if he is on the Sentinel plane, there is no way for me to get him. Or reach him or find that he's there.
Well, I will try my best not to need help or die until then. But I can't promise that I won't be getting into trouble, so.
If you die, Ral, I will be instantly snapped back to your side.
Ral laughs and gives Spectre a quick hug because they hurt. And
yeah, as you kind of like hug him, it's exactly like hugging death. It's cold and weird, and as you
it's
sort
not
of
his
like,
fault, V.
It's not. Everyone needs a hug, including death.
He liked it.
As you pull away for the embrace, he like before your eyes, this gets he you know, stands up off the step and sort of like walks into the wall, just straight on through. And as he does that, you are kind of hurtled back to the material plane.
Okay. Well, that was less helpful than I had hoped, but...
You see Zelfar just sort of like look at you out the corner of his eye and get a little confused look on his face. Like,
what did you do? You just sat there. Where did you go?
I was in the stocking for a second. We lost a friend of ours. He's somewhere. We're going to find him. But we have more people up there. They will come back here and they're going to want to go get that cup. So I should try to make that more possible. I will go scout ahead. Just wait here and they will come and just point them in the right direction. And Raw will go over the layout of the dungeon for them to give them the information that they need to escape if help doesn't come. And will also let them know to tell... He will give them the layout of where he believes he is going to. And tell them about the rainbow puzzle thing, about the ones that we know, and the purple stone, to not go on that one.
not go on the last color before red. Yellow will electrocute you, and I think the blue one was cold. I'm just gonna... Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was...
I don't know, but the purple one sends you, like...
Well, there's kind of two purple, I guess. One's indigo and one's violet.
That's so. I think that's like the same thing.
I think it is, but I might be wrong.
Indigo might be a little more blue, but it might also be a little more purple. I can't really picture it in my head, but like.
Okay. You make your way back down the stairs. You sort of at the corner of your ear, you hear the two Dathridis talking to each other, and you know, you can just sort of like look up at the corner of your eyes and they're just holding each other and, you know, looking and tending to their son who is still not, you know, conscious yet. All right, you make it to the doorway. What you wanna do, my dude?
I'm gonna spit on the yellow gem.
All right. You hit it. It's super gross. You've just spat on something.
Great.
Yeah, I'm afraid it doesn't do anything. So you have red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, or violet.
Now, question about Pentor, what knocked him unconscious. Is his, like, couple hours thing because he went unconscious?
Yes.
Or it wasn't to do with like the electricity in the room, like stunning him for a couple hours?
No, no. So when you stabilize a character, they are unconscious, but they're unconscious for 1d4 hours.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't like the couple hours thing.
Yeah, it wasn't because of this. It was because he went unconscious. And normally when we have anyone hit unconscious, we heal them.
I was just wondering if that was a side effect of failing the yellow thing. No. Otherwise, he'll stick with the yellow because it's safe to assume that all these are bad.
You are correct. You are very correct.
Yeah, magic is scary.
All right. In that case, I need you to take a dexterity saving throw.
22.
Boom. On a 22, you save and you have that awful, awful thing that when you save on dex shows, you take no damage, right?
Yes.
I hate everything about this.
Sigh of relief. Raul takes a second to gather himself.
I just want to scroll through and see if I can find out where it says this, because I...
What, the thing I have?
I'll be super sad if, like... Yeah.
Your instinctive agility lets you dodge out of the way of certain area effects such as a blue dragon's lightning breath or fireball spell. When you are subjected to an effect that allows you to make a dexterity saving throw to only take half damage, you instead take no damage if you succeed the saving throw, and only half damage if you fail, which is something that I was not aware of, but that I will use now if you try to hurt me. Because I think I took damage from that before, but I've already taken it. So.
Yeah. It was, it just happened. Magic, yo. Okay. All right, then. You are on the other side. Now let me see. No, you've already taken the wisdom save today and you succeeded, so you don't need to worry. Either way, you've already done it once today and you need to do it again. All right, so where do you want to go, left or right?
I think it was to the right. Raul goes back to where the other side of the place was, where we got turned around but didn't take the other path.
Yeah, so you retrace the steps as you took them before. You come to the junction where the choice was going left and away from where... this very creepy melodic whistling is going on.
Yeah, that I didn't hear, but I assume Pintor made me
aware. Yeah, he would have pointed it out
after the fact.
Yeah, he would have pointed out, like, there's a whistling. You're like, oh yeah. now you know it's there. It's easy for you to pick up and tell it's there. And you make your way along the corridor towards the whistling.
Oh, so quietly, V.
Oh, so quietly. I need you to make a stealth check for me.
25. I rolled a 16.
All right. Probably having learned something from Squash and Pintor. Oh, you had to be quiet, keep your tail off the floor, that kind of thing.
V, this is why they called me Shadow Strike before I could actually do the shadow striking.
That is true. You make your way along corridors that twist and turn. Now that you've taken this path, what looks like it should have been like a turning left or a turning right, it's not. It's just the way that the corridor turns. There's no branching off now. As you make your way closer and closer to this source of the whistling, this loud melody that is in the air, you come across one final junction. To the left, the corridor just goes on and turns out of sight. And to the right, at the end, you can see that there is kind of like a whitish glow.
See, I just don't have abilities for these type of situations. I just have to go touch it and see if it hurts me. And if it does, then I have things.
Okay.
I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to get close.
Okay.
Keeping calm.
As you decide to take the path that leads to where this kind of whitish glow at the end of the corridor is, I need you to take a wisdom saving throw for me.
Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.
12.
A 12.
Is that good?
It's not good. Now, I need to ask that dumb question. Are you the type that is now immune to being frightened?
Yes.
Do you have to do an action to do it?
Yes.
Okay, then for one round, you're frightened.
Okay.
Oh, you also take your damage. Sorry.
Ah, great.
It's like, oh, no, he's thwarted me. No, he hasn't. He failed. So did my dice. You take 3 psychic damage on 2d10. Tell me about it, man.
I'm so nervous, V. What's going on now?
As you step forward, the white light disappears. And before you, you see a room. You're still not at the edge of the room, it's just off in the distance. And you see on a pedestal, there is Aima. She's sitting on the pedestal, smiling wittedly at you. This isn't a look that you're used to seeing on her face. This is contorted, twisted. And above her, as you look up to the ceiling, as if you can't quite believe what is going on, you see a black shadow. You see strings from fingers reaching down to her smile, embedding themselves into her chest. You see the strings are very taut on her face, pulling her smile wider and wider. You see tears are now dripping out of her eyes in pain as you see blood from where the smile is beginning to rip through her face. You see the strings in her chest begin to get taut and pull, and you hear her scream in pain. And then you realize it's a vision. And your frightened status goes away. The vision goes away. And what you see at the end of the corridor is what probably be a fair-sized room. There are onyx and dark blue tinted marble on the ground. It's in tiles. You can see from where you are that there seems to be a series of stands and plinths with items on them. You can't see what yet, but you can tell that there's something on each of them from your limited view. Everything around you feels deadly cold. What do you want to do now?
Me. I'm going to... How close am I so far at this point?
Let's say you are something like, I don't know, 100 feet out. I don't know distances, Neil.
Okay, I'm going to get to the edge of the room the best that I can, being very sneaky and watching out for traps. I'm looking for entities. There is not just a bunch of objects, but what else might be in this room and get a bit clearer view of this room.
A good plan. I need you to make 2 checks for me then. I need you to make a stealth check, and I also need you to make an investigation check. One is to get up this corridor sneakily, and the other one is to spot any traps along the corridor.
Stealth check is a not natural 20, a dirty 20.
Filthy, filthy 20.
An investigation, right?
Yes, please.
18. Which is pretty good for a +0.
As you make your way down this corridor, 2 or 3 steps from the entrance to this room, you can see a telltale series of small puncture-like holes in the wall. And as you look down a couple of paces before these holes in the wall, you see that the tile here is ever so slightly more raised than the others.
I'm going to make a sneaky acrobatics, like, hop to go over
it. You don't even... Yeah, you can sneakily put your leg over it and walk over this tile with your filthy 20 sneak. You can do that without a problem. Mm. As you look inside this room, being super sneaky, in the corner, you can see that there is a need to make sure I get this right. You can see that there is what looks like an incredibly beautiful human woman. She has wings and they're dark, dark green. You can see her face. If she was animated, you would be able to tell that she's the one making the sound. But she seems to be just frozen at the moment, her mouth contorted in a whistling shape. You can also see in the other corner of this room, opposite from you, that there looks like a wispy-looking man. He's carrying a short sword. The lower part of him is comprised of smoke. There aren't any legs, it's just smoke. The top half of him is comprised of what looks like a rib cage and some loose fitting clothing over the top. He wears on his head what looks like a crown. He's also carrying a short sword. I need you to make a perception check. This is not going to be easy.
11.
You don't notice anything else about him. In this room, there are what looks like three kind of pedestal type things. Against the far wall between this beautiful statuesque woman and this bizarre, weird, wispy looking man, on the pedestal there is the chalice that you have seen in Squash's vision. On the left-hand side, there is what looks like a single white feather inside of a glass box. And on the right-hand side, there is a very tall, ornate, kind of light tea-coloured vase with cracks filled with gold, with patterns and runes drawn upon it. It seems to be smoking slightly.
Okay, V. Well,
yes.
Here's the thing. Mm-mm. At the very first thing you described of all that crazy ass shit, the woman with wings whistling, Raul was like, yeah, this is above my pay grade. The magic shit, I cannot do this alone. So he scouts the room and sneaks back. Because there's no way. All of this is bad. There's nothing good here.
There is exactly zip that you want to deal with.
No, this looks like some shit that Balance needs to get down here and look at, because there's a woman with green wings over there whistling, a man with smoke legs over there, and a bunch of magic shit that I shouldn't touch anyways, because we all know what happens. So I'm going to go back.
Okay.
Those don't look like nice people to talk to. And the things look like I shouldn't touch them. So that leaves zero things for Raul to do.
That's absolutely fine. I suspected as much, and I'm proud that you're making the decision not to try and Rambo solo this.
There's so much bad in there, V. No.
Okay. All right. Okay. You make your way back. I need you to make one more stealth check for me, please.
Oh. 24.
Yeah, no one's going to hear you. You hear like the clunk clunk off in the distance, but that's basically it. You make it back to the portal in and out again. Are you going to try and jump through it?
No, I'm going to wait on the other side. I'm going to whistle slightly to the parents.
Okay.
To see if they come closer to the portal and see if they're still there.
You see, just sort of like, as you do that kind of like very low key whistle, it's a little time, but you see and hear the soft footfall of someone making their way down the stairs. And as they get into view, you realize that their mother has the bow and some arrows, and she's looking down at you, just ready to shoot in case anything gets too close. She sees you and smiles.
Raw waves.
She makes her way down to the bottom and she says, Did you have any luck?
Well, no bad luck. That room is crazy, though. I'm going to need to wait until everyone gets down here before we can try to get the thing we need. How long has it been?
It's been about an hour.
Okay. Well, I'm not really going to risk going through this crazy portal thing again. So, just holler if you guys need anything. And I will stay right here.
Is there anything that I could help with? I've rested. I'm sort of back on my feet again.
Raw, thanks. Well, you know what? Hold on. Raul is going to jump back through.
Okay, I need you to make a dex save, please.
Okay. 18.
Eep. Okay. I assume you're going to try and jump back through on yellow just in case.
Yeah. Always on yellow. Yeah. That's too many.
You would be taking 39 lightning damage.
Oh my god.
But you have your interesting, useful thing called evasion. So you'd be only taking 19 lightning damage.
Oh. Ouch. Okay. Let me get my calculator.
You have 27 hit points.
Fuck. Okay. Raul tries to keep himself calm after getting zapped and jumping through.
She kind of like almost like half catches you as you jump through, and you know, she kind of like puts a hand on your shoulder and like, you know, rubs like the top of your back a little bit in a very like motherly fashion. So. Come on, let's get you upstairs. Let's get you settled.
I should go back through and make it easy for them to get through the rooms.
You mean back through those traps you were talking about?
Yes, there's only one that you would need to be sneaky. I can get through one for sure without falling in that pit. I don't really have a reason to lie to the old man. And I can start grabbing that key that's flying around. I don't think there's too much danger.
I'll come up with you to the first room. Maybe I can see something that you don't. Not that I doubt Pintor or your ability or your friend. What was his name? She's walking with you up the steps, by the way.
Squash.
Squash? Is that a human name or a halfling name or a
halfling
gnome? She stops when she reaches Pintor and she looks down at him and looks at her husband. She says, I'm just, Raul and I are just gonna go upstairs and have a look about. You stay here. And he sort of looks at her. You can see that his wounds have begun to heal over a little. His resting short rest, he's begun to recuperate some damage. It's not going well for him, but he's recouping something. He stands up and hugs her and tells her to be safe, and she follows you upstairs. All right, now you're up on the entrance to this horrible ballroom filled with a cloud of weapons. I need you to make a perception check for me, please.
Okay. Oh, 7.
A 7. Well, that gets you nothing. So I'm glad this is why I sent the other character with you, just in case. Give you guys another chance. She is a ranger, so her perception is usually pretty good. It is not.
Oh.
Let me check, though, because she may actually have enough to pass this. Perception check isn't high. As you guys reach the landing to where the door is into this room, she grabs your shoulder and she points to the back of the door. She swings it closed just a little bit, and you can see that there is some writing on the back. It's an Elvish, which I assume...
No, I don't read Elvish.
Okay. And she says, this inscription, it says the pathway back isn't necessarily as easy as it may seem. It says, Kiza, your friend. Be silent in the room. Yeah, it just mentions that you need a key. There should be one in the ballroom somewhere. That's what it says.
A key in... So the rooms are different going back?
I don't know. It just mentions that the doors aren't as easy to get back through. Were any of the doors... Did you leave any of them open?
A couple.
I'd like to assume they're still open. What about the door with the old man? You mentioned that he opened it.
That one should be sealed. He sealed that one behind him, I think.
Perhaps that's the reason the key is in this room. It's this room and then the old man, you said, and then the purple goop, and then...
Right.
The keys?
Right. So we need a key from this room?
I would guess so.
Okay, no.
Let me see if I can see it.
No.
If we...
I mean, don't go in there. Raul reaches his foot in and taps to make the blade spin and show her how that it's bad.
She takes your footstep for it.
Yeah.
As the blade's up and whirring in the air, I'd like you to make a perception check.
Okay. Ugh, come on. 12.
She got the 15 required.
Oh my goodness.
You can see that there are a series of tables here, as I've described before. And these tables have like various weapons leaning up against them, and they're what creates the cloud of weapons. And as they are up in the air, you can see on a table that's very, very close to where you guys came in, basically the other side from where you are now, you can see that there is what looks like a kind of grayish, thick looking, you would presume, key. It looks kind of out of place now that all the weapons are up in the air, and you could see pretty much when the weapons go back down why it would be difficult to spot, because the weapons and the key are almost the same color because it's kind of gray. You can see that it's on the second from the second table from, you know, if you were in the other side, and she points this out to you. There, just there.
Does it look like something that would be easy to get walking through, or does it seem like something that would make noise trying to get it?
You would have to find out.
Well, son of a bitch. Thing is, I have low HP and might need to rest myself, and I don't want Balance getting mad at me if I die in one of these rooms when I could have been taking a short rest after I gave them enough hints to get through anyways, considering. Yes. Now it's harder to get back. I think he'll stay and actually take a rest now.
I guess also if you rested here, if you see them coming down, you could very easily just tell them.
That's true. Yeah, we can scoot everyone up the stairs a ways to keep a lookout.
Okay, on that happy little family moment, I guess then we find Raoul and the unconscious Pintor, Zelfar and Sylvia, kind of camping out at the open door on the other side of this kind of ballroom area. Are you going to take a short rest to recuperate any of your hit points?
Yes.
Good. I would like you to roll those now, please.
How many hit dice?
You are level 9.
So you can spend 9 hit die?
You can spend That's 9,
98.
Yeah. That is 98.
Wow. Can I roll them? Do I have to roll them all at once? Or can I like
No, I'll
like
say you could roll them one at a time until you...
Okay.
Yeah, I say you could just roll them one at a time. Right. Raoul would know his own body.
He is a monk.
He is a monk.
Yeah, okay. There, he's at max now.
He
has used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 9 of his.
Yep, you have 3 remaining. Die.
All right.
Okay, then. I guess, so let me just go through my brain where exactly we were. I think we were just over 3 hours when Pintor went unconscious. Yes, we were just over 3 hours when Pintor went unconscious. There has been at least 1 hour where you were going around, and it's been yet another hour. So it's been 5 hours since you guys have left the surface. That's important because I need to know roughly where everyone is when, hopefully, if Team Charisma make it this far, where everyone is.
Yeah.
This is going to be fine.
Hi there. Raoul here. Kind of wish that I were at the party. Or maybe at the spa again. That would be nice. Anywhere else, really. I hope they get that message soon. So, quick news. We unlocked a while back a couple of stretch goals with some audio drama style backstories and such. And we recently did auditions for roles in that. And we had so many people audition. It was great. Everyone did fantastic. We were very excited. I'm sure Valanda's going to come on here and say a lot of the same things, how well this went compared to how we thought this was going to go, but it really went well. So thanks to everyone who sent in your auditions. Everyone was fantastic. Special thanks to the patrons who unlocked those things, and thanks to the patrons, of course. There are more of those already unlocked and on the way, so stay tuned for more auditions, for more parts, and going through this whole process again. Fun. But seriously, thanks to everyone who came and auditioned for those roles. We had such a great turnout. We weren't expecting. We had so many talented people. So thank you, everyone. It was really great. And this is the part where I usually say goodbye and thanks for listening. But if you see a balance and Zaltana.
Are you looking for a D&D podcast that'll make you laugh? How about one that'll make you cry? Sweat profusely with stress and anxiety because of a flippin' mule? Taking Initiative is a Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play podcast with an audio drama feel. These episodes are scored, character-driven, and filled with utter bullshit. Mostly because of Nick, let's be honest. Featuring special guests, the Venture Maidens, D&D is for Nerds, and more. Plus, we're in Wizards of the Coast podcast of series.
Welcome, everyone.
It's your pal, Rere.
That was an interesting time you had, Nick.
I pat the horse on the rump. Thank you, great-grandfather.
He just said his hopes and dreams. He didn't cast a spell.
You gotta get down deep and lift from the knees.
So that's the only big organ he has.
Damn, taking initiative. Look us up on Twitter at @TI_pod and on our website, takinginitiativepodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.